Mark Twain who said, "Faith is believing in those things that you don't mean true." I never quite liked that very much. It seems a little harsh. Because it sets faith against reason. It makes it think that there are certain things we know in our minds that are true, and faith is this other thing. I might push back and say that faith is something else entirely. Faith is the very thing that raises up your believing and your knowledge and your mind and will to new levels. Last week we talked about what it means to be just a person. A person made in the image of God, having both mind and will. And on our own, our minds and our wills can be ordinary, it can be natural, and we can achieve a certain level of goodness with that. But God gives us sanctifying grace of faith, along with hope and love, which raises our minds and wills to new levels, enabling us to see and choose and experience goodness that goes beyond anything we can ask for or imagine. Probably no one went through this type of transformation more than Joseph, who we read about in the gospel story today. So Joseph had a problem, didn't he? Just on the surface. And because of that problem, he was about to make a big mistake. We read in the gospel story how he was engaged to Mary, and before they had lived together, she was found to be with child by the Holy Spirit. Now we who have the benefits of faith, we know the end of the story. We know this is God incarnate. We know this is a perfect God, perfect man. We know the angel came in. Just by faith, we know these things are true. But imagine what it would have been like for Joseph right in that moment. How that would have come across to him and to their community. When Joseph was in the thick of things, he was having a hard time. All he knew was that his fiancée was going to have a baby, and he knew that that baby was not his. He knew enough about the birds and the bees to realize how these things happen. So according to just ordinary reason, and where his mind would be without faith, she must have been unfaithful. But we're also told that he was a righteous man, and so despite whatever feelings he was experiencing, whatever thoughts he may have had, false thoughts, but thoughts that he had been betrayed, he did not want to shame her publicly. So he wanted to just make everything quietly go away. But in a small town like where they live, there's only so much you can hide. Before I went to seminary, some friends and I would sometimes amuse ourselves by imagining what other people might have said when word got out about Mary's pregnancy. In those days, just like today, you can't avoid being around other people, so there must have been some talk. Can you believe her? I heard it's not Joseph's. What do you suppose the father is? I saw her talk to that Roman soldier the other day. I don't know how she could have done something like this, because Joseph is a good man and doesn't deserve this. And you know what else? She's telling anyone who listened that it was the Holy Spirit. Wow. Heard a lot in my day. So on and so forth. Well, all this dialogue can be thought of as petty and mean-spirited. The conclusions themselves, or where they're coming from, at least within a mind without faith, they can seem reasonable. But where does that leave Joseph? He plans to break off the engagement quietly and go about his life. But then something strange happened to him. He was visited by an angel in a dream, verifying that the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. Congratulations, it's a boy! You are to name him Jesus. He will save his people from their sins. After this, Joseph took Mary as his wife and raised the boy as if he were his own. I tell you, that must have been some dream. I think what Joseph experienced was probably more than a dream. You know, it was a dream, but we were told an actual angel came to visit him. If you or I were to wake from an ordinary dream, we might say, wow, that is nice, and then go about our business. But for Joseph, this dream changed everything. When the angel visited him, I believe he was confused and was given a very special gift. The same way when a person is baptized, they're infused with the gift of faith. And that faith elevated Joseph's mind so that he knew for sure that Mary had been faithful to him. So that faith wasn't opposed to his reason, but his reason was elevated. He must have known it as surely as you and I know that the weather is a bit cold right now, or that it was raining on Thursday. Because that's what faith does. It makes the mysterious things certain. Just because it's a gift from God that elevates our minds, we just understand certain things to be true. This happens to all Christians when they're baptized, and when they regularly take part in the sacraments, when they read the Bible, engage in prayer. A person's faith is first infused in baptism and then nourished and strengthened as they grow in their spiritual life. And when you think about it, we have the results of this all around us in many, many ways. There are certain articles of faith that we believe in that requires the gift of faith even to accept and understand them. For example, reason can tell us that God is perfect goodness or that God is a maximally perfect being. Scholars and philosophers have even developed arguments that show that God exists. And those arguments are perfectly logically sound. One of the first was Aristotle. He developed a proof that God exists. But then take some of the particulars of Christianity, those things that make it really unique and life-changing. But those particulars that go beyond reason. They're about reason being elevated. Reason might tell us that God exists, but it can't reach the level of one God existing as three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That belief is given to us as a gift of faith. Historical records show that there was a man named Jesus who was called the Christ, and that he existed while Tiberius was emperor of Rome, but it takes the gift of faith to see him as someone who is both fully human and fully God. Scholars can look at the Bible and then examine the historicity of its narrative, but only faith will see it as the Word of God that contains all things necessary for salvation. We can say, even on our practical day-to-day encounters, ordinary reason can suggest that we should be decent to one another and have peaceful interactions. But faith is the thing that raises up that ethic to recognize each person being made in the image of God and worthy of dignity and respect. So in short, what faith does is it takes the absolute best that our minds can come up with and then raises it up even higher. Raises it up even to maybe a supernatural level. Joseph's minds and wills were raised up by faith so that he could accept that Mary was carrying God's son in her womb. It was a pretty fantastic thing. Could only be accepted through the gift of faith. Joseph didn't have the church or even the same Bible that we do today. So he needed an angel. That's why the angel came. He needed the angel to be the deliverer of that message. Therefore, this gift of grace. I imagine that their neighbors were probably still on that ordinary level of understanding, which would have been difficult. And that may have been why they traveled to Bethlehem before she gave birth. Would have given them a chance for a fresh start. But they knew what was true, the rest of the world around them, they needed some time. And even leaving their home behind, they were still given a gift that goes beyond anything they could ask for or imagine. And we are given that same gift, though the delivery is a bit different. We may not have an angel come to us in a dream, but we do have the gift of Scripture. And we can hear God's word on a daily basis when we avail ourselves of that opportunity. We may not have God incarnate as a little boy growing up in front of us, but we do have the sacrament of the Eucharist, where Christ is present in a very special way. These gifts of God meant through the church raise up our minds and wills in the same way that Joseph had his mind and will raised up. Joseph took Mary as his wife and raised Jesus as his own son. We have our own things, our own responses to that gift of faith. We have our own ministry in the world, whether it's providing Christmas joy and food to needy families, participating in the worship of God, or reaching out to our neighbors, sharing the sanctifying grace to the best of our ability. Through these gifts of grace, God has raised us up as well. When you think about it, it's beyond anything we could ask for or imagine. And in that respect, they have something in common with that old carpenter Joseph. Though Joseph was faced with a dilemma, and he was raised up, he was given a message that on the surface seems kind of crazy. But through the gift of faith, he said, yes, this is true. We are good claims that we look at for ordinary reason and say, well, okay, that's what Christians believe. And then through faith, they are raised up to say, yes, this is true. So we have faith, not to believe in something that we know ain't true, as Mark Twain might have put it, but instead we have